This is Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a production of Catholic Radio Indy. Now here's today's program.
This is Faith in Action on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host is Bridget Ayer.
Hello, everyone.
And Bridget, I'll bet there's somebody listening that got a letter from us in the mail, who set it on their dresser or taped it to the refrigerator, and who was going to answer that letter and hasn't done it yet.
They forgot.
Well, I tell you what, just to take this not as nagging, just as a gentle reminder, please go ahead and do so now. If you didn't get a letter, you can visit our website, Catholic Radio Indy, I-N-D-Y, CatholicRadioIndy.org, and there's a donate button there, and you can make a donation.
So we have a great guest in the studio today. Our guest is Julie Savitsky. She is the executive director of Reins of Grace Therapeutic Riding Center. Welcome.
Well, thank you, Bridget. Great to be here. Thanks.
Yeah, I'm really excited. This is just a very unique, you're a very unique person, and this is a very unique ministry. And first of all, tell our listeners, what is Reins of Grace? What exactly is it?
Reins of Grace is a therapeutic riding center where we see children with special needs, and we use horses to help them gain more function and independence physically, emotionally, and it's a equine therapy is another word for it. And all of our riders are average age is probably 3, but
wow, that young?
That young. That's a really great time for the intervention to happen when they're growing, and it's a time to get that input in their bodies to help them grow and change some of their abilities so that they're a little bit more functional, walking, talking, fine motor, gross motor skills, that type of thing. The horse does all that.
So tell us a little bit about yourself. I mean, how did you get into this line of work? I mean, tell us a little bit about your faith life and how the two kind of went together.
It's kind of a interesting story. When I
we like stories here.
Good. All right, I've got one for you then. When my daughter was about 10 years old, it was a Monday night, and it was, you know, bedtime prayer time, and she said, "Mom, when can we buy Paloma," which was a horse at a nearby farm where I did some volunteer work. And I said, "Well, honey, we can't afford a horse, and we certainly can't afford that horse." I said, "But I'll tell you what, you pray to God, and when he wants us to have a horse, he will provide one." And she said, "Okay." And, you know, with the faith of a child, she made the sign of the cross and started her prayers. And I walked out of the room and looked at the ceiling, and I pointed my finger at God, basically, and mm-hmm. said, "It's your problem now, big guy."
Mm-hmm.
And
I've done that before.
Oh, yeah. He loves to be challenged. And the next morning, I kind of thought I was done with that. And next morning at 8:30, the phone rings, and it's the guy who owns the farm where the horse was. And he said, "Well, you know, we're selling the place, and you've helped us out quite a bit, and we want you to have Paloma for free."
Oh, wow. Wow.
And I had goosebumps all up and down, and I looked over my shoulder, kind of expecting to see God pointing his finger back at me, saying, "Now it's your problem, Missy." So I thought, well, we still can't afford to board a horse. So I was doing some work at Viking Meadows at the time, and I called my boss and I said, "If one of your employees should find herself with a horse, could she trade her paycheck for some pasture board?" And he said, "I don't see why not." And so within about 10 hours of me challenging God, we had not only the horse that my daughter had prayed for, but a free place to keep her. And then if that wasn't enough to make you think something was going on, when we told the kids, she came home and all excited, she said, Mom, do you know what La Paloma means?" And I said, "No," in Spanish. And she said, "It means dove or Holy Spirit."
Oh, wow.
And I thought, well, that's the clincher.
There's the clincher. Yeah. Right there.
Yes. And Blues Brothers were on a mission from God. Mm-hmm. It's kind of what it felt like. I didn't know what the mission was, but certainly under those circumstances, something was happening.
So were you always, that's a really, really awesome story. I mean, not everybody has a story like that, you know? And it's just amazing when you pray.
Oh, yes.
I mean, yeah. Really intently.
He answers prayers, not always in the way we think
right.
that he's going to, but he definitely had a a mission. And I guess we talked briefly about kind of what to call this, and Breadcrumbs from Heaven is what keeps coming back, because this was never a dream. It was never a blueprint anywhere. My husband doesn't even like horses or the country, for that matter, the way it turned out. And so I didn't ever think I'd have a horse in my backyard, basically. So everything that's happened has been literally one breadcrumb at a time. So it just kind of continued from there.
So were you always like a horse person, or what's your background as it relates to horses and or special needs?
The horse, I was sort of the oddball in my family. Nobody did horses. They did other sports, but I got bit by the bug at a fair one time, and I kept asking, can we get a pony? And my mom said the same thing to me. We can't afford one, and we can't afford to buy one, to board it. And I thought, well, if that's all it is, I had saved up some money. It was almost my 10th birthday, which is ironic because my daughter was 10 when all this happened with Paloma.
Wow. That's
kind
cool.
Of interesting. And at my birthday, I said, well, I'm going to get a horse. And I pretty much announced it. I wasn't asking anymore. And they looked and said, and how's that going to happen? I said, well, you said we couldn't afford one and we didn't have a place to keep it. And I made all the arrangements and I had money saved up from...
At 10?
At 10. Babysitting. Back then, I was also known as Miss Mature by my brothers and sisters. So I babysat and pulled weeds and did whatever odd jobs I could do to make some money. And back then, a pony was $25, in the paper. And hay was 25 cents a bale and that type of thing. And there was a family that we knew that had horses at the edge of our neighborhood, and I made arrangements to clean stalls in exchange for board. So I said, I'm going to get a horse because I'm going to buy it and I have a place to keep it. So I think at that point they realized it wasn't going to go away, and and they we did get a pony. Scout was his name.
Aww.
And kind of went from there. So I've been involved in horses since very young.
So if you're just joining us right now, we're talking with Julie Savitsky. She's the executive director of Reins of Grace Therapeutic Riding Center. So then fast forward to now, and how long has this ministry therapy center, riding center, been in existence? When did it get started?
We moved out to the farm in 2007, and I got my certification to teach special needs riders in 2003, I believe it was. And then I started teaching when I was still at Viking Meadows. And then my boss came to me and he said that the place had been sold to a developer and that I was either going to have to sell the horses or move and that type of thing. And so I talked to my husband about it and said, I just got my certification. We're starting to see kids. And I can't believe that I have to stop. But we couldn't afford to board two horses and teach at another facility, that type of thing. So I said, what about, buying a couple acres and continuing the ministry? And he said, well, I don't even like horses, and I don't like to mow, and I don't like the country, and we can't afford it. So I said,
three strikes, you're out, right?
Yeah, that was it. He said, but I'll pray about it. And he would go to adoration every Saturday, and he'd come back, and I'd say, well, what'd he say? Mm-hmm. And he'd say, well, he didn't say no, but he didn't say yes either. So, and then I thought, well, this must not be from God, because if we're at odds with each other, that certainly isn't something that God would put there. So,
sure.
So I kept trying to walk away from it, but then I'd find myself out in the country in front of a for sale sign and in front of acreage and think, well, how'd I get out here? And I couldn't walk away. So finally one day he said, okay, let's look for property, but it's got to be within a 5-mile radius of St. Maria Goretti, because we spent a lot of time there and the kids went to school. And so I was ecstatic and he was smug, because he thought, well, there's no way we could afford anything that close to Goretti. And I actually just recently drove from our driveway to the front door of the church, and it's 4.9 miles.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Our property is. So so we built the house back in 2007 and have been on that property for the last 11 years.
So you operate this ministry out of your home, basically?
Correct, yes. We're just 5 acres. We're a small outfit, but that's part of the part of the appeal, I think. It's very individualized, and so when each family comes out, it's their time for that hour to be out there to relax and enjoy the country and the sensory garden, and to see their child just sort of take over their own world for the first time. And it's very empowering to be, you know, 30-pound kid with a, you know, some restrictions, and get on top of that horse and make that horse go places and stop. And that's just a skill that none of their peers have.
Sure.
And their brothers and sisters are all, can I ride too? kind of thing. So it's very empowering.
How many horses do you have?
We have 5 on the property right now.
That's a lot of horses.
It is a lot of horses.
So we're going to need to take a break in about 2 minutes here, but I want to ask this question before we get to that. What is it about horses and the experience that really kind of opens up special needs kids? And what is it? I've always been curious about what is it? How does it work? I mean, dogs, kind of the same thing.
There's actually quite a bit of science behind it, but it's multi-leveled. It's emotional, it's physical, it's psychological. From a technical standpoint, it's the movement of the horse is almost identical to the way a person walks with the weight shifting and that type of thing. So when a person sits on a horse, let's say a child that's not walking yet for some reason, when they sit on that horse, that movement tells the body that that you're walking, and you're moving through space because you're on the back of the horse. So all the things that normal walking would be. So if there's a disconnect between the brain and the body for whatever reason, this is kind of teaching the body how to walk in this instance.
Yeah, it's like your brain is walking even though your legs aren't doing it. So
exactly.
It kind of teaches your brain the pathway of doing that.
Exactly.
Really cool.
It's amazing to see. They have MRI evidence also. The oxygenation that occurs, the blood flow reaches areas of the brain that other forms of
activity
and different types of equipment, just because it's a three-dimensional movement, so you're going up and down and back and forth and sideways. If you picture yourself sitting on top of a Swiss ball and somebody's moving it all over the place, you've got to hold yourself on that ball, and you use more muscles sitting on the back of a moving horse than any other sport except swimming.
That's pretty good.
So it's quite a workout. We have kids that are asleep before they're at the end of the driveway.
So we need to take a quick break, and we'll be back to talk more about Reins of Grace Therapeutic Riding Center.
Catholic Radio Indy.
There's lives being touched every single day by it.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. I'm here with my guest, Julie Savitsky. She's the Executive Director of Reins of Grace Therapeutic Riding Center. I'm trying to figure out exactly what takes place at your facility in terms of who you serve and how they're served.
Okay, that's we see a lot of kids that come out of First Steps.
Okay.
And so about the average age is about 3 to 4 years old. And so a typical morning, the family would come out with their rider and...
the parents, not a stop and drop.
No.
You don't drop your 3-year-old off, right?
No, but now that the sensory garden has been completed, I find that we have an observation room that normally the families would hang out in the observation room to watch their child ride. Now, after they see that their child's mounted and out in the arena, it's funny to me to walk by the observation room and see it empty now, because everybody, the rest of the family, the siblings, grandma, grandpa, everybody's out in the sensory garden and enjoying the what we have out there. But going back to the rider, though, we have lots and lots of volunteers, which we absolutely could not run the program if we didn't have that. And it takes about 3 people at least just to do the lesson for each child. And so we get the horses in there. We call it get the horses dressed and the equipment that we're going to use for that child that day, and they wear helmets and safety belts and that type of thing. And so they'll go around. We have a lot of...
So they're not riding bareback or anything like that.
Well, actually...
Or do you have some?
Yeah, we use very minimal equipment in terms of on the horse's back. Well, that's one of the therapeutic benefits is the horse's body temperature is warmer than our bodies. And so they're, and then if they're closer to the horse's body with just a blanket instead of a saddle, then they're getting sort of a heated massage, and it helps loosen up muscles. And it also causes you to have to
use your balance own muscles, and your
exactly. And so we have different handles and that type of thing that we can put on it if the child needs a little bit more support, or we support them. But we have all kinds of what I call educational distractions in the arena. We've got a rainforest that hangs from the ceiling that's made out of beads and greenery, and it's got butterflies and birds and frogs and things in it. We've got, so the child can ride underneath the rainforest, and they can reach up and they can grab things, they can hear it, it makes a sound on their helmet. It's pretty fascinating, actually, even for the volunteers. We all get stuck
under
there.
They want to do it, right?
They do, and the sun comes in at certain times of the morning, and it glistens, and it's really beautiful. Okay, guys, we got to keep walking. And that's what we're here for. And we have a toy tree that the kids can ride under, and they can grasp these little toys and take the lions and tigers and things for a ride. And we have a car wash, really a horse wash, and it's a flannel sheet in strips, and we wash hands going underneath it, or wash helmets. So all these things are sensory stations, I guess, is another way. They have different textures, different sounds, different feels. And the whole time that the child is exploring that, or the alphabet that's on the wall, the numbers, pictures, we've got all kinds of colorful, interesting things, the horse is moving, and so the rider is maybe somewhat distracted by all the fun stuff, and doesn't, so their body is relaxed and open to the movement of the horse, which is what they're there for, is to get, and then that way the body just does what it needs to do to adjust appropriately to the movement to keep that child centered on the horse.
Now, you mentioned special needs children.
Yes.
What sort of special needs do the children have that you work with?
It's quite a wide range, everything from cerebral palsy, autism, Down syndrome, any developmental delay.
Could be blind, deaf?
Absolutely. Yep. We just, you know, kids that are not making their milestones that developmentally for whatever reason, and that physical activity of the horse, just things, you know, we develop in stages, and you crawl and roll over before you start pulling up and walking. And if one of those stages is missing, we kind of back up and put that back in there through the movement of the horse. And then,
so what ages, I know you mentioned young people, what about teenagers or adults? I mean, do you have like a wide range, or is it mainly just younger targeted group?
That's sort of how it developed. We didn't really plan it that way, but with our volunteers and the size of our horses, we have a lot of teenage volunteers, and we have smaller horses, and so it's just, those were the kids that kept getting referred to us. Were again the kids that came out of First Steps, when who were still receiving services, but when you turn three, you're cut loose, and a lot of parents are going, well, now what? You know, we still need help. And that was kind of our mission also, is that, running a riding ministry is expensive, just to house the horses and the land and that type of thing. So, and insurance doesn't usually pay for very much of the, for the lessons. And when I was in my training, I met a mother who was a single mother who was working two jobs just so her son could ride 2 days a month, and because it was so expensive, and I thought how frustrating that would be if I had a child with special needs and this therapy or this riding helped him, and then they said, okay, well, that's all you get, too bad, because of money. So that sort of became our mission statement, is that, you know, nobody is ever turned away because of a financial situation. So we're kind of paying it forward. The horses were given to us for free, and so we're kind of just using those horses to give back and to serve these kids that really can benefit from it.
Now, how do people make the connection from having like a special needs child to becoming a participant in your program?
That's a good question, because in fact, in one of our brochures, that's the title of a section, is how does riding a horse help my kid walk and talk, basically. It's just kind of word of mouth. It's not out there a lot. It's getting more and more so. There are more centers opening up all across the country, and again, just word of mouth. And I guess that's the best way to.
So, do you need like a referral from your primary care physician to do something like that? Do you do
no.
insurance or anything, or you guys are just more independent in that way and not going through like an insurance?
Right. Yeah, we don't do insurance. We charge what basically an able-bodied riding lesson would be. If you wanted to go take a riding lesson, it's around $45 for an individual lesson at a stable. And so that's kind of our fee. And then if that fee is not in the budget for the family, we ask them to pray about it and come up with a number that would fit their budget. It might be $5, it might be 10 or 15, or it might be a bottle of fly spray. Mm-hmm. And then they come back and they say, this is what we can afford. And we say, that's good. And that's what your lesson is.
You mentioned volunteers earlier. Are you in need of volunteers, and how would someone volunteer?
Just by contacting, we're always in need of volunteers. You have to be at least 13, but we've have 13-year-olds and we have grandmothers that volunteer. So it's a pretty physically demanding job. So that is one of the things. But there's so many needs in running the farm, whether it's assisting a child on the horse, or whether it's the never-ending cleaning the stalls, or painting fence posts and sweeping, and we've got goats and chickens also, so there's always something that needs to be done. So even if you're not able to have your arms raised up high and holding a 30-pound mm-hmm. child on a horse for 30 minutes, there's plenty of things to do.
Now, how would someone volunteer?
Just email me or call me and say, I heard about your place on the radio, or I saw your website, and then we have the families come out and take a little tour and see if this is something that works for them.
So in terms of could they volunteer through the webpage? Is there like someplace they can contact through the webpage too?
Yes.
In terms of volunteering?
It would just be the email. They would go to the contact page and say, hey, I'd like to volunteer. What do I do? And then I would call them or email them back and say, let's meet and I'll show you around.
So why don't you give that webpage right now, and then I want to ask you how this has impacted your faith. So give us the webpage.
The webpage is www.reins.com.
And so what has this been like for you? Like, how has this impacted your family, your faith life? I mean,
it's
obviously been very powerful.
Yes, it is.
And it's ongoing too.
Yes. It never stops 24/7, 7 days a week. I think one of the neatest impacts that it's had on me is the families and the joy that you see these families have. I guess raising children, period, of any ability is difficult and stressful.
Absolutely.
And then if you throw in a few physical challenges, it can be very stressful. And so you kind of get this picture in your mind of a burdened family.
Mm-hmm.
And yet time and time again, these families drive up and the car doors fling open and the brothers and sisters come piling out and they're all excited. And the little one that's riding, they get all the gear and they bring them on in, but everybody's excited and happy, and they don't walk around like they're burdened, and in almost every family that has come out, they will relate how much of a struggle it might have been at the beginning when they first got a diagnosis for their child. But that how they've seen God work in their lives through the support system, their churches, people, strangers that will come up and offer an encouraging word. And so their lives are such a witness for other people. And they have been to us and, to me personally and to my own children, to see how you take life and what you do with it, what decisions you make. And that's based on how God has, how you've allowed him to be in your life and to just to trust in him, and that he will take you where you need to be and give you what you need to get along, to get through it all.
That's really beautiful. If you could give the webpage one more time, and then
okay,
that would be great.
All right, www.reignsofgrace.com.
Well, Julie, normally we take a break here, but I forgot to mention something really important that's coming up at the, I guess it's the Peterson Farm Fest.
Correct.
It's August 11th, 2018. What is that?
That is our annual fundraiser, and that is hosted by Al and Sherry Peterson at their farm in Cicero, Indiana. And this is our sixth year doing this, and it's a hog roast and bluegrass music and a lot of stuff for the kids, 50-foot slip and slide, among other things. And we bring the Reins of Grace therapy horses over to the farm and the goats so that the everybody can kind of take a look at the real stars of the show and brush the goats and that type of thing if they want. And it's admission is $30 for an adult with a $75 family maximum, and that is the fundraiser right there. And then we've got three different bands playing. All the hog you can eat with three sides. We have beer, lemonade, and tea, or you can bring your own cooler. And
that sounds like a blast. It's August 11th. And what time is it? When do you come out there?
Gates open at 4 o'clock, and then it goes till who knows how long it goes. And you can buy tickets online. You can go to the website and buy tickets online. And we have a raffle also for half a cow and a whole pig. So you would win a quarter of a pig or actually it's about maybe 30 or 40 pounds of beef. I think this year actually we're going to have a gift certificate for $150, two gift certificates for $150 each.
So this is in Cicero, Indiana?
Yes.
And you go to reignsofgrace.com to register, right?
There you go. It's on the events page.
All right. Well, great. Well, we hope to see you there.
Excellent. Thanks so much.
You have been listening to Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a presentation of Catholic Radio Indy. You can hear this episode of Faith in Action again or any past episode at CatholicRadioIndy.org. If you have a suggestion for a guest or topic for a future program, please call us at 317-870-8400. Or email Jim at CatholicRadioIndy.org.